Yeah, yeah, it's sick, that. Yeah, that's good. Wait, hold on a minute. Pull it up. Stop. You know what you want to do with that, right?
Put it on CITR 101.9 FM.
You want to put a banging donk on it. Yeah, 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 that's sick, that is sick. I can definitely drop to that one. All we need now is like a hook line. You know what, I've got actually the perfect one. Bassline! Oh, wicked! Now put a donk on it.
Whoa, what was that? That's better.
We sampled it from him, but it's not the same baseline.
You can get in serious trouble for copyright infringement.
What? You got an organ going.
Yeah? Copyright is not doing crap!
Copyright? What's copyright?
It's the right of the owners to control.
Right now!
You know what time it is.
Welcome to
the copyright.
It's fair enough.
Gotta love the breaks. Common break. Also gotta love the donks. We're putting a donk on it. This is the Copyright Experiment. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. CITR.ca online. And recently I learned if you have an Apple TV, you can listen to CITR as well. On the college radio stations. So, that's cool.
Wow.
CITR is also on Facebook and Twitter. Yeah, I got a guest in here today. This is me, myself, Autonomy. DJ Mochi's still gone, but we got a special guest today. You want to introduce yourself?
Hey, everyone. My name is Brad. Go by DJB.
DJB, DJB.
DJB, DJB, DJB.
Mm-hmm. So DJB is in the studio today. We're going to be talking about something pretty freaky, ominous. You want to explain what the listeners just heard before we dropped into the show?
Yeah, we started that off with, we played a minute of that crazy Donk remix by an artist called Donk DJ. And the interesting thing about that track is it's actually a remix robot that made that.
A remix robot? What's a remix robot?
So it's basically like... you can download this code for free if you know what you're doing, I guess. And you can plug in a song and basically code up some sort of algorithm or some sort of interesting procedure that you do to it that makes a new song out of it. And so this was a project called Donk DJ. It's inactive right now, but it used to be a website where you can upload a track and you can download your instant Donk remix of it.
Donkify any track.
Yeah. Exactly. Put a banging donk on it.
Put a banging donk on it. This code, we're going to talk about a few things today, but it's all kind of from this idea of what in artificial intelligence's place in new music is. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of come up in a few surprising ways. One of them is probably Donk DJ. There's also other remixes by robots as well on the internet. It's kind of a bit of a community, would you say?
Yeah, you can see SoundCloud accounts that are actually just bots that basically if you comment on their track or put a link into your own music, they'll automatically just download it, remix it, and upload it on theirs. And you could talk about bots remixing each other's stuff too, some mm-hmm. sort of like automated community. It's kind of crazy.
It's really interesting. I think it's funny because we could talk about what what the intellectual property implications of that are. What who owns the music created by a robot?
Yeah.
And you know, is that robot committing copyright infringement by downloading the song that you post? Anyway, we're not going to talk about that totally today. Although those are interesting questions to think about. So creating music is something, I think, an unexpected way that artificial intelligence has kind of made its way into the music world. The spawn of that, that project of creating songs, remixes automatically, was spawned by this company that does a lot of different things in the music intelligence business. Do you want to talk about them?
Yeah, so it's a group, interesting group called, a pretty large company, like 50 employees or something, called the Echo Nest. They claim to be like the largest and the best service out there for a variety of things. One of them is the remix package that I was talking about, that you can download and make your own remixes. And their main side business is they're basically like the data backbone of many of the popular internet radio services, personalized custom radio out there. So they provide all the back end for that.
Yeah, so if you've ever been on a streaming site, such as Pandora. Echo Nest is a backbone of Pandora, I believe.
No, Pandora's actually Pandora. Different.
Okay.
Different.
But a few partners they have. Anytime you're on a streaming site like Pandora, Pandora's, I meant to say Spotify, actually. It does, yeah. Does work on Spotify, right?
Yeah, Spotify just acquired them.
Right, too. Okay. So, Echo Nest is the back end. If you don't know what a back end is, it's basically the code that's doing the work behind the website or the application you're using. So, on Spotify, for example, if you're playing a song and you play a series of songs that have, you're kind of sending that list of that behavior you're doing of the songs you're choosing to Echo Nest, and Echo Nest is compiling data based on that and kind of creating recommendations for what you might want to listen to next.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of interesting to me right away, because it seems to be this idea of recommending music that you should hear. It seems like it's the kind of the last step in replacing. Maybe the last step, maybe not. But it's definitely one of the major steps in replacing the idea of a record store in my mind, where initially we had the replacement of the record store through digital download stores or just downloading. But then we still hadn't replaced the idea of the record store clerk, I don't think, that may tell you what you may want to listen to next. If you're going crate digging, if you're walking to the record store and you want to get a new album, but you're not sure what, the record store clerk is always going to be there to tell you what you may like based on the artists you do like. And I think this is a service that kind of aims to bring that into the online world too. And it also does, it also makes it context related. So one of the major problems with the online music distribution platform is that because it's so easy to put music out, there's just a lot of music out there. And you were saying earlier that based on the breakdown of people who listen to music, only about 7% of those people are ones that are really hardcore music listeners that will go out and find music for themselves, and they'll trust their judgment on that, and they really enjoy doing that.
Yeah, so it's the breakdown research done by people at the Echo Nest, I believe, talking about different categories of music consumers, and the most extreme for what Tim was talking about was the 7% called savants, apparently. And so how you characterize that is they will interact a lot with whatever tool they are using to listen to music on. So they're going to like look in a website, similar artists, they're going to check out what their friends are listening to, like click next and like find, you know, actively seeking out content. Whereas the opposite end, which is apparently 40%, is called indifference. So these are folks who they'll turn on a radio, but they won't even bother to change the station if they aren't into it. So it's kind of interesting how music can play a different role for for those different extremes.
Right, and so outside of that 7%, I think there's a huge demand for people who don't know what to listen to but still want to listen to something. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where Echonest is trying to come in and, you know, fill that role in the digital world. And you know, on such a massive scale, I mean, it's impossible to tailor someone's specific listening preferences based on like the way that the record store clerk does, because I mean they may know a lot, but and you may be able to ask them that, but you know, not every listener is going to have someone that they can ask online for what they should listen to. So I think Echonest comes in with an automated solution that's algorithmically driven to kind of, based on your listening behavior, tell you what you might like.
Yeah, it's like for the indifferent folks, like it's kind of like if someone logs on to like Spotify, we talked about, and Ardio, which are two different radio services that integrate with Echonest database. Basically, it will look at, if you connect your Facebook, it'll look at what you've listened to on Facebook prior. For SoundCloud, vice versa, it'll look at what your friends are listening to. So it combines all of this data and all of this like correlational data, looking at people who like this, also like this kind of thing, and predict what you would like next. And also even time of day or geography. There's a lot of different variables that don't immediately come to mind.
Hmm. Yeah, and they do kind of a remarkable job of collecting different possible variables that may vary from person to person, and they'll do like song analysis, waveform analysis to rate, say, how high energy certain things are, or they may they create the hotness rating.
Yeah, there's all these different attributes that they have for each actual individual artist or song. Partly it's derived from text data, so that comes from crawling the internet, and they find out. They look at what like when a new artist comes out, they'll look at blogs that are posting about that, and we'll see how much buzz certain people have. And then the other side is the acoustic side, where they analyze the actual sound, and that's sort of where the remix tools come out of, is the acoustic side. Mm-hmm. So they look at, like, they have all these like kind of funny attributes for like danceability and energy level. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of interesting to see, like, every song has like a certain decimal value for danceability, and it's mm-hmm. like, okay.
yeah, if you've it seems to be working, though. I mean, the idea of it seems dubious, I think, but it seems, when you interact with it, it seems to do a pretty good job, would you say?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I was just looking at some of the genres they have. They have this site that shows they've got 400 genres that they know of. And so one example, I was just looking at the hip house one just to check out, like, okay, let's see what they, you know. And so they have this page where they have basically a box of like a bunch of representative artists and stuff. And interestingly enough, like I just know of a few hip house records and two artists who are large in hip house, Tyree Cooper and Fast Eddie. Like if you talk to any hip house DJ, like they'd probably tell you that those are two of the most prominent, but they aren't even mentioned on this page at all. So whereas like other people who you'd kind of say, maybe not so much, like inner city is like house, but it's not really hip house. Like there isn't really rapping in it's house, but so for music nerds, it's kind of, it's interesting how, different people can relate with
right.
The different genre space. Mm.
I find it interesting that this company, I mean, it seems like they're computer nerds and they're music nerds, and they're kind of combining it together to create something really interesting. And what's interesting to me is that obviously they have a business model and they're selling their services to other companies, but they're kind of just doing their thing and they're letting other companies use their service. And they're kind of like a gun for hire in the music recommendation world. And, you know, the sites that are really trying to make it and make a big name for themselves, like Spotify, are, well, they're like acquiring Echonest and the other sites like eMusic and RDO and stuff. They're using the software for their own uses. But the Echonest seems to be just kind of tinkering away, making cool things and letting people use it.
Yeah, you can tell it's kind of a culture of kind of make what you want, like whatever you think would be fun. Like there's a labs page where you can look at a lot of really interesting kind of experiments. There's one that's like it's a 3D music maze, so you can sort of load up this maze and walk around, and there's different cubes for like you can explore different similarity. Like you go to the death metal zone and you look at all the death metal bands and you can play previews. It's kind of fun. There's also like a little Justin Bieber game in there where you can, yeah, you have to like it's kind of a scavenger hunt kind of thing. It's kind of cool.
So I guess the big question from this artificial intelligence approach to music discovery is, will it replace human intelligence? And I mean, that's always the million-dollar question. And when it comes to AI in any field, but for me, it seems like so. What this does, and what other things do online, like music blogs do, and blogs and music sites and music journalism. I mean, I think music journalism in the magazine sense has kind of declined since the internet age, but the idea of music journalism has kind of exploded because of the internet, and now that we have blogs for every little genre you can think of, and for every style, and you know, it's very easy to create one and get your voice heard on your you know, expertise on a certain genre. And what this does is contextualize the music that you're listening to. And because there's so much music, it's a real it's a big desire for casual music listeners to have a context in which they're listening to music. Otherwise, it's impossible to kind of know where to start, really.
Yeah, exactly.
That's and so this is what kind of the blogs are doing, and which are human-based, and this is what the music recommendation software is doing, which is machine-based. And whether the recommendation alone is enough to replace the human aspect is probably to be seen. I think it depends on how much the platforms in which they're integrated to will be adopted. But obviously, you know, these things, they augment the music scene by creating new remixes, as we heard earlier, mm-hmm. and they augment the scene by giving you recommendations. But I'm not sure if I would be impressed if Echo Nest comes out with a music review, automated music reviews system, or you know, music style, right, lifestyle writing around music.
Yeah, the way I feel about that, I kind of, you know, you and I are both human DJs, mm-hmm. and the idea of like a robot coming in and saying, I can do a better job, I'm sorry, but
right.
I really am pretty skeptical of that,
yeah.
of that idea. But I think, like, back to the whole idea of the 7% versus the 40%, the majority of the radio services are catering to the 40%, the indifferent. So mm-hmm. these are the people who don't spend any money on music. All the money is generated by the ad revenue coming from those services.
Right.
It's kind of a really large corporate radio scheme. And I think, like, if they are going to come close to replacing human DJs, I would say that they have to start providing tools for the smaller 7% so that they can start to get more nuanced knowledge about genres from specialists in fields, because there's, you know, in every genre there's a whole universe, really, and a lot of the big data kind of schemes kind of treat it as like something you can sort of put in a box,
right? And Echo Nest is they say their algorithm is a kind of a big data approach, so they have a database of 30 million songs, and so and they're using that to kind of parse through and come up with recommendations based on listeners' behaviors. And it's not some magic thing. It's based on, you know, collating all that data and coming up with statistical inferences between them, right? And so one of the things that we both found to be inadequate in these like automatic DJs is that they're kind of creating users out to be these like singular beings that have, you know, a very straightforward sense of what they like in music. And based on the behavior of the few songs they listen to, they can, you know, come up with the whole schema of what their music tastes look like. I think we have some objections to that, just because any person who likes music in a moderate sense is going to like some music on some day and different kinds of music on another day, different kinds of music at different times of day for different moods in your life, different contexts and stuff. And I don't think Echo Nest recommendations or any of the other recommendation services really take that into account, and which is something that a human DJ is constantly doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know this, neither of us, and when we play out, I mean, you're constantly seeing what works, what doesn't, and you're looking at how people respond to what you're doing, constantly adjusting. And I think the recommendation services do that, but in a very like exacting and almost overcompensated
way. It's a very isolated, because when we're DJing for a crowd of people, we're dealing with like 30 or 40 people at a time, and mm-hmm. we're playing the same song for 30 or 40 people.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of these services are like siloed people listening to one song and then the next song.
Right.
So it's not like a communal experience almost. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not communal, and it doesn't, I mean, it's almost paying too close attention to what you're doing, as if what you're listening to and what you're skipping is like really indicative of what you as a person are listening to musically. Mm-hmm. And it kind of creates this idea that like, well, if you don't like this song, okay, I'll switch to another song. And you know, you're under the watchful eye of this algorithm that will, you know, completely revamp its image of you as a musical listener based on the next song you skip. And it's ever watchful, which DJs, human DJs, I think have a bit more finesse than that in their selection.
They're not going to be in your living room staring at you. Do you like this record? What do you think?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have to go to work? Oh, I guess you don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, you want to add anything else?
Yeah, I think it's always really cool when you know, development and these algorithmic big data ventures, they're learning, you know, that it's not perfect. You know, they've come along. They've been in operation for about 10 years or so. So 10 more years, let's see how it goes. Yeah, and in the meantime, it's pretty cool because they do provide the API for free for anyone. So anyone can just set up their own like personalized radio station.
Right.
So it's pretty, you know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, they're certainly not trying to. They seem to be doing this for very benevolent purposes, which is refreshing, I think, in the tech industry. Anyway, so with that, we will take a quick break, and we're going to come back, and DJB is going to play us some music. He's going to stick to the free music format that our show is well known for. Yeah, we'll be right back in a minute.
How much do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's non-profit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
Do you like laughing, hilarity, radical thought-provoking creativity, and laughing? UBC Improv is UBC's home for improvisational comedy, theater made up on the spot. Like us on Facebook to learn when our next shows are. Search for us on YouTube for our film sketches. And follow us on Twitter because we want the followers. UBC Improv. Insert cheesy slogan here. Let's get it on.
Sugar. I think that PSA was improvised.
Right.
Yeah, so we're back. You're listening to the Copyright Experiment on CITR 101.9 FM. We're going to hear some music from our special guest, DJB. What are you going to play for us first?
First, I'm going to play Baby You
Baby You. Okay. And if people like the tunes you're playing, can they hear you anywhere soon?
Yeah, we're doing next week at the Astoria on Wednesday night. We're doing a night called Cyber Spa.
Sounds relaxing.
It's not relaxing whatsoever. It's very high energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's part of it. We're trying to shake things up a little bit.
Cool.
In Vancouver. So, yeah, we got a special guest, Franco Baj.
Cool. Mutual friend of ours.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see him play.
Yeah, me too. It should be really fun. There's no cover. 9:30 doors. Astoria Wednesday. Check out cyberspa.biz too.
For a dedicated website.
Yeah.
Wow.
We have our own address.
Nice. Cyberspa.biz.
Yeah.
Go there. Enjoy the tunes. Sit back. Relax. Maybe dance in your living room. All right, take it away.
Totally.
Don't get caught in the nets. If you get caught in the nets, you go onto land. Sometimes you never come back, and then sometimes you die. Don't get caught in the nets. I don't want to see you go, so don't get caught in the nets. Don't get caught in the nets. There's stories about other dolphins getting caught in the nets. And none of them are good stories, and none of them never end well. And you never know what's gonna happen when you get caught in the nets. Sometimes people escape. Sometimes they escape from the nets. But not always. So you always have to keep guard. Don't get caught in the nets. Don't get caught in the nets. Don't get caught in the nets. Don't get caught into the nets.
The infamous, infamous snack pack.
This ocean universe.
On CITR. Copyright experiment.
When you get caught in the net,
you go into the surface of the water and you never return to the ocean.
Where you are free, where you can do anything that you want. You can be anything in this ocean. You can do triple backflips, triple front flips, and triple quadruple backflips. But if you get caught in the net, you can't do that. So just don't get caught in the net. Be safe in the ocean universe. And don't get caught in the net.
If you like any of the tracks you're hearing, check it out. copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com show blog. You can get all those tracks, free downloads, all of them.
Pop on the beach in a park. Got Bacardi, I came to the party. Shawty drop low and just twerk. These nigga bring out the monster. The monster to bring out the chopper. 26 rounds, lay a bitch nigga down. Give a nigga that slang no flocker. Windows down when I roll up. Just bought an ounce, might roll up. Blowing O's on that boss shit. Throwing elbows in that marsh pit. Windows down when I roll up. Just bought an ounce, might roll up. Blowing O's on that boss shit. Throwing elbows in that marsh pit.
Cosmic Wisdom on the Copyright Experiment out of Vancouver on the Jellyfish Recordings. TJB, get in the mix. Picking up the pace. Check out the blog at copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com for all those download links. We did it for love.
Love. I still got love. You. I still got love.
gonna be our last track for the night. Last track for DJB. It's been in the guest mix tonight. You've been listening to The Copyright Experiment on CITR 101.9 FM. If you liked any of those tracks, they're all free to download, and you can do it at our blog, copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com. And if your night is not over, that's okay. CITR's got your back. Pierre's coming up with Oral Tentacles. It's going to take you through from midnight all the way to 6 a.m., so stay tuned for that.